Welcome to the M2I Alternative Investments Chat, where we demystify the world of alternative investments and financing for entrepreneurs and investors alike. With these discussions, we hope you're more empowered to unlock opportunities in your business or portfolio.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of M2I Alternative Investment Chats. I'm Erica with Aaron, and our very special guest, Sandy Simmons of Pathfinders Partners. He is an expert in real estate and DSTs. So in our previous episode, we had talked about what it meant to be an owner and a loaner. And Sandy dangled some very juicy information in front of us as we were leaving that episode about what happens when it's time to sell that property. So you said there is a way to defer taxes. Listen, we don't like taxes, anybody. So I specifically want to know, how do you do that when you sell your property? How's that possible? Go into it. Tell us all of the details.
Oh, boy. Well, avoiding taxes is the number one motivator for virtually any investor in any asset. Mm-hmm. The goal is to grow it.
Yeah. Not give it away at the end.
And exactly. Mm-hmm. And then have half of it taken away because you did such a great job. And you've now made the Internal Revenue Service the beneficiary of all of your hard work. So think about a typical real estate transaction. What happens? You go find a real estate broker. Mm-hmm. He finds somebody to buy it. You come to terms. You close. And what happens? The mortgage gets paid off if there's a mortgage. Mm-hmm. And then you get, hopefully, a big handful of cash. Now, if you keep that and don't do anything about it, you're going to get taxed on it.
Yeah.
Capital gains tax. In investment real estate, by the way, there's also something called depreciation recapture. So in investment properties, you depreciate it mm-hmm. along the way, which is absolutely allowed. And it's that depreciation that helps to shelter some of the income that that property generated. Unfortunately, when you sell, you got to recapture all of that depreciation that you took. Mm. And by the way, that's at a flat rate of 25%.
Jeez. Chunk. That is so a chunk. Yeah, like you said.
Cap gain, 20%, 15 to 20%, 25% on your depreciation recapture. Potentially, there's a net income tax, a new tax that came in the Obama administration as well, if your income's still high. So you can be taxed up to 40% of your hard-earned gain. Yeah. And think about a multi-million dollar piece of real estate. That can hurt.
Yeah.
So many, many years ago, and I'm going back to the 50s, the IRS, through pressure from real estate investors and Congress, obviously, put into effect a law and its IRC code. Actually, that's repetitive, isn't it? IRC means Internal Revenue Code. So it's Internal Revenue Code.
it's the government. We don't ask anything to be better than that. So
It's known as 1031. And this created what's called a 1031 exchange. Which means that if you have an investment property, can't do this with your home, but if you have an investment property and you sell it, you can defer all of the taxes on that property, all the gains, all the recapture, if you purchase another property of equal or higher value.
I know, me too.
Well, it gets interesting because the code.
I didn't say it.
it reads that it must be a like-kind property. Hmm. Now, that's what messes everybody up, okay, in a like-kind exchange. So I've got this rental property that I inherited from mom and dad out there in Tempe, and I've had it since they passed, and it's been 20 years,
okay?
Well, I don't want to go out and buy a single-family rental property. You know, I don't want to go get a like-kind property. Well, guess what? You don't have to. What like-kind means under the code is that it must be for investment purposes. Mm. That's the only thing that has to be like.
Oh,
Okay.
So in our previous episode, we were talking about some of those asset classes. So
bingo.
You're telling me that you can take this piece of property that you were just having a tenant in, a house, but it's your investment, and I can go get a storage unit and just go down to, I think you called it a broom and a light bulb. that's like kind?
Yes. Yes. You can invest in any other property as long as you hold it for investment. Mm-hmm. This is why your home doesn't work.
Got it.
Yeah. In the eyes of the IRS, we don't hold our homes as investments,
right,
although most of us do, let's be honest.
Sure.
Yeah.
But the key is that it's for investment property. Now, there's plenty of very, very wealthy real estate investors because they started in their 20s, they lost some money, and they learned the business. Now they're in their 60s and 70s, and they've done unlimited 1031 exchanges because that's what the government allows. You can do it throughout your entire life.
Wow.
So think about 20 transfers of highly appreciated property, if you've done it right, over your lifetime.
Wow.
You've amassed a huge fortune. If you cash out, you're going to pay the taxes. And by the way, this goes back to the first property.
Mm.
It always carries forward your basis and your depreciation.
Oh, okay.
Could you imagine after 60 years of having to go back that far and determining what your taxes are going to be? It's insane.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
so what's the way out of that?
Yeah.
You die.
Oh.
I mean.
I know.
Kick the bucket,
kick the bucket.
Yeah, kick the bucket. The point there is that there are, for estate planning purposes, there are very wealthy real estate investors that never plan to sell the property. The kids inherit those properties, and under current law, at a stepped up basis. Whatever those properties are worth today, guess what? That's now their cost basis.
Got it.
So I inherited my $35 million of real estate from Dad yesterday when he passed, and I sell it tomorrow. If it's gone up from $35 million, any amount, I'll pay taxes. If not, all the taxes are gone, forgiven. Mm-hmm. So it's you swap till you drop.
I like that.
Yes, that is awesome. That's what our new logo is going to be.
Yeah, swap till you drop.
Swap till you drop. And that is actually the phrase that's used in the real estate business for doing 1031 exchanges. The issue then is, let me go back to my 20-year-old property that I inherited in Tempe.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, it's pretty old and it is frankly not in very good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really tired of that tenant. Remember from our prior episode, the terrible tees.
The terrible tees.
The trash toilets and tenants,
yeah,
right?
I'm over it.
Well, I'm done, mm-hmm, right? But I don't want to sell it and have to go buy another property because I don't want to be a landlord anymore. Yeah, I would hire somebody to do all that stuff. I don't want to paint and plumb and clean toilets, mm-hmm, but still, I got to pay for it and I got to pay an accountant for it and I got to have liability insurance for all of that stuff. I don't want that. So I'm just going to hang on to it and I'll die and give it to my kids. Well, is that a good use of my inheritance? Most kids don't want to inherit a job.
Good point.
Yeah.
Right? I don't.
And that's a job.
Yeah.
Now there are some kids that are, oh great, I'd love to take over that rental property. But in most cases, the heirs are not interested in it. They want the money.
Yeah.
Cold, hard cash, baby.
Bingo.
Yep. They want to buy
but
something
I'm not dead
better.
Yet, right? I'm not dead yet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no step up. So what am I going to do? Well, the answer to that is a DST,
mm-hmm,
which stands for
Delaware Statutory.
I said state trust. Statutory.
Fired.
I'm out.
Boy,
let's try it again. Ready? Delaware Statutory Trust.
There we go. My brain turned
Bingo.
Out finally.
Good job.
Bingo. So in 2004, and as a side note, I'm just going to say, and this is my opinion only, this is, I can't say this is factual, but I think it's based on pretty good fact. In 2004, pressure from real estate investors, but a lot of pressure from Congress on the Internal Revenue to bring in another alternate for the 1031 exchange. And I say from Congress because guess how many members of Congress have been doing 1031 exchanges their whole life?
I can only imagine.
Right. And now they're in the same position as me. I don't want to go and out and find another rental property. Well, the Delaware Statutory Trust in 2004 became eligible as a qualified property for replacement in a 1031 exchange. So what does that mean? Well, remember that I said a like-kind property and investment held for investment, right? Okay. Well, a Delaware Statutory Trust is nothing more than a real estate, piece of real estate, but it's wrapped in a trust, specifically structured under this code, right? And what generally happens is a large real estate company, big bucks, goes out and buys this property up front with their own money. They may finance part of it. They may not have all the money they need, but they find a way to buy it. And this could be anything from a dialysis center to a storage facility to a brand new Class A multifamily housing facility, senior housing, all the things restaurants, yeah. Hotel, all the things we talked about in the prior episode.
Right.
Once it's purchased by this entity, it's into the trust. It's put in the trust. Now, any investor who has sold investment property can buy into the trust as a fractional owner. Because I may only have $2 million in my pocket,
right?
But that's a $100 million facility,
yeah,
that's inside of this trust.
Right.
And now I'm a fractional owner,
right,
of that trust, which owns the property. My fractional share of all the depreciation comes through to me.
Mm-hmm.
I get my share of the income checks. Somebody else is managing the three T's. And I get my tax prep papers at the end of the year. That's it.
That's pretty cool.
Fully passive.
Yes.
And there's so many investors that aren't aware of Delaware statutory trusts, much less their parents.
Yeah.
And we're talking about 60% of the rental property in the United States today, the rental residential property,
mm-hmm,
is owned by mom and pops.
Wow.
I mean, we talked about apartment building around here, but yeah, the fact is those little one home rentals, 60% in this country by individuals.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
And so it does make sense. So what's happened is the demographics, us gray hairs, we don't want to have trash, toilets, or tenants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a perfect way to defer all the gain on all that real estate work I've done my whole life. And by the way, a DST, minimum investment's small relative to the real estate world. It's usually about $100,000. So if I sold my 20-year-old mom and pop property that, you know, they paid $75,000 for, but it's worth $2.6 million here in Tempe,
right?
I can go out and buy 5 DSTs or 6 or 8 and completely diversify my portfolio, right?
Wow.
Because my risk was all that money's in one property and it's old and it's beat up. I've got a lot of risk.
Right.
And I don't even like the tenant, right?
Yeah.
Right? So now I do the DST, which my advisor finally made me aware of after I slapped him around. And
as you should.
Yeah. And now I can have a portfolio of any of those assets that we've talked about.
That's so wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just absolutely love this topic because, like you said, we don't learn this.
Yeah. So much to learn on this, right?
So always just blown away every single time we have a conversation with you about DSTs. It always makes me, I leave with my brain spinning.
thanks.
Thinking, I don't even think I want to buy a house. I think I'm just going to go get investment property somewhere else and don't worry about it later.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, people always say, well, what are the risks? Well, first and foremost, you still own a piece of real estate.
Yeah.
Remember I said that this transaction is still real estate. It's just in a trust, but you have all the risks. Is the manager going to manage it properly? Are the tenants, you know, tenants good? Are all the things that can happen to real estate? Is it located right?
Right.
Did they make the mortgage payment on it? That's where you have to trust the sponsor because the The primary risk really in the DST is that you have no control over that asset. And I mean zero. You can't even tell them when to sell it.
Right.
Okay. So you're in it and it's illiquid and you're in it until the sponsor sells the property. Mm-hmm. The good news is they all tend to sell in 4 to 6 years for a number of reasons we don't need to talk about today, but that's always their target goal because they are in the business of doing DSTs. They don't want to create one and have it around for 30 years.
Right, sure.
Right?
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, you can always roll it into something bigger, better, and make more money.
Yeah.
Right.
So maybe a good point here is it's, I know I've made it sound really simple, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It pretty much is as long as you're buying a property that's equal to or higher in price than the one you sold. Where it can get funky is if you had debt.
Mm.
So a quicker and simple example, I have $1 million property with $200,000 of debt, right? I've sold it. So I've got $800,000 in my pocket because the $200,000 mortgage got paid off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I want to do a full exchange, I have to take that $800,000 and buy $1 million property.
Right. Yeah.
So I either got to go get another loan or DSTs.
Yeah.
Some DSTs have debt and I can use the debt inside that DST to replace that $200,000 that I went to pay off the mortgage with.
Hmm.
So without getting complicated about remembering how much is in the mortgage and all this, really simple rule, buy a property worth more than or equal to what you sold, and then you'll be fine.
Yeah.
That's so wild. I mean, it sounds just like the most exciting opportunity. Like I said, every single time we have this conversation with you, I just leave with my head spinning and all these thoughts in my head. So because DSTs is a very, it can get very complicated. There's a lot more risks that we want to save a little bit of that and go into it in a further episode. So just for this one, what do our listeners, what do you want them to take away from this episode?
Oh gosh. Well, I know I've done a bit of a brain dump on everybody, but the key point really is you're not stuck in a piece of investment real estate unless you want to pay the taxes, in which case you are stuck because that hurts.
Mm.
But you're not stuck because you have another alternative that you may not have known about. Well, you have two alternatives. You'd be shocked at how many investors are not even aware of 1031 exchanges.
Right. Yeah.
Because CPAs and tax attorneys are not that aware of them.
Yeah.
It's gotten a lot better with current estate planning.
Mm-hmm.
It has gotten better, but where they have all fallen down is in the DSTs.
Yeah.
Realtors never heard of DSTs. Most accountants never heard of DSTs. Mm. And it's been around since 2004. So it's the best kept secret for a huge benefit. And I think for any of our listeners, absolutely explore the DST angle. By the way, a DST is considered a security.
Mm.
Okay. So you would have to acquire your DST through a licensed securities representative.
Good to know.
But outside of that, you've got a huge world out there of all kinds of assets. So that makes it fun.
Yeah.
Sell that rental property. Go get a restaurant.
Yeah.
I was almost there.
Yeah.
The energy was high and I almost fell for it. Bar. How about bar? Yeah. I don't want to see
I think
food.
We're done with restaurants.
Yeah.
For now.
No food.
Yeah. Yeah. Traumatized.
I love that.
You're bringing up trauma for the two of us.
Oh, sorry.
My therapy appointment's not until later, Sandy. Now I'm going to have to call her, okay?
Well, Sandy, thank you so much for coming on the pod. You were a lovely first guest. What a way to set the bar high for all of our future guests. So
thank you.
Thank you for coming on and sharing your knowledge with both of us and our listeners. And to our listeners out there, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Have a great day.
Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for more insight on our next episode, and don't forget to subscribe to continue the journey with M2I. See you next time.
Content provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as professional, financial, or investment advice. This podcast should not be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of any offer to buy any securities. We strongly recommend that you seek advice from a qualified professional before making any financial decisions.